This is Church Alive's Teaching of the Week. For additional teachings or information about the church, go to churchalive.net.
Can you all stand this morning and just let's honor Regina as she comes up to share the word.
All right. Well, good morning. Well, you heard Pastor mention earlier about the fall weather. Have you noticed? Fall is in the air. You got those nights getting cooler. And y'all, the pumpkin spice flavors are available virtually everywhere, if that is your thing. But the season of fall brings to mind things like apples, pumpkins, hay rides, and bonfires. Do I have any bonfire lovers in the house? Anybody? Okay, a few of y'all. All right. Well, bonfires are a nice way for us to stay warm on cool nights. But you know, fire, it can be great. It can be great when it's contained within its boundaries. But out of control fires, well, they can cause a lot of destruction, wouldn't you agree? So just keep that image in your mind for later, because I'm going to refer back to that in a few moments. Y'all, we are in a series this morning, or for the last couple of weeks, called Joseph Dreams to Destiny. And we have been looking at the life of Joseph. And within this, we're looking at how we can get to the destiny that God has for each one of us. You see, every believer has a God-given dream. And that's their calling. And God has a purpose for believers, and that is their destiny. You know, many people live with a dream, but they never quite get to the destiny that God has for them. And honestly, it's because they have issues with their character, because the character cannot support the destiny. Now, we see in the life of Joseph that he received a dream at age 17. But he didn't actually start walking out that destiny until the age of 30. And as I stated before, it's because he had some character tests to pass. And y'all, we have some character tests that we have to pass just like he did. So in the last few weeks, we've talked about the pride test, the pit test, the palace test, and this morning, we are going to discuss the purity test. Now, in the words of Pastor Gene, don't shout me down. But I'm going to need your help, just like he always says. So I would appreciate any and all amens from you this morning. All right. Thank you. Thank you. So today we're going to be looking at some ways that impurity can affect our lives, and I want you to receive some practical instruction on how we can pass the purity test like Joseph. So are you ready to jump into God's word today? Yes. All right. Well, we're going to be in Genesis chapter 39. We're going to start at verse 6. So if you have your Bibles, open that up, or it will be on the screen for you to refer to. Now, verse 6 says, "Now Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast longing eyes on Joseph. And she said, lie with me." Okay, so right here we see she's making advances towards him, wanting to sleep with him. "But he refused and said to his master's wife, look, my master does not know what is with me in the house, and he has committed all that he has to my hand. There is no one greater in this house than I, nor has he kept back anything from me but you, because you are his wife. How then could I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" So it was, as she spoke to Joseph day by day, that he did not heed her to lie with her or to be with her. But it happened about this time, when Joseph went into the work, into the house to do his work, and none of the men of the house was inside, that she caught him by his garment, saying, "Lie with me." But he left his garment in her hand and fled and ran outside. Whoa. What an encounter that Joseph had. Now, let me give you some context for this particular passage of Scripture. We saw that at the very beginning of this series, that Joseph was sold by his brothers, and he ended up in Egypt. So now he is working for a man named Potiphar, who was the captain of Pharaoh's guard. So that's the household that he's been put in charge of. We also learned last week that God was with Joseph. So that means that he had God's presence, God's favor with him. And so therefore, Potiphar, his master, trusted him with everything, his entire household. But when Potiphar's wife started making sexual advances, Joseph did exactly what it says to do in 1 Corinthians 6:18. It says, "Flee from sexual immorality." And he did exactly that. In other words, run away, run away. It's what he did, so much that he left his garment behind. Now notice that Joseph called in that passage immorality great wickedness and sin against God, because Joseph understood that sexual compromise would be a wrong against his master Potiphar, but also sin against God. He understood that. So as we begin to have this discussion about the purity test, I want us to start with God's perspective on sex and sexuality. All right? So let's make sure that we understand what that looks like according to the Bible. Now in Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, it says that God created them male and female, right? Are we glad that God created them male and female? I am so thankful for my husband. So thankful. But God also created sex. Amen. This was the opportunity to say amen, y'all. Now, I know that we got a little tension here in the room. We got to loosen up a little bit. It's okay. Because God created sex, all right? He did. He created it. So he meant that for our pleasure, for our joy. He loves us. We're his children. He created sex, and because he is the creator of sex, he best knows how it operates within our lives. Okay? So remember we were talking about fire earlier. Well, like fire, sex is amazing when it's contained within the boundary of a covenant marriage. It's actually meant to strengthen the marital bond, okay? However, sex outside of marriage can cause a lot of destruction and pain. And God loves us so much as his children that he created sex, but he also gives us boundaries because he's a good father. He gives us boundaries within his word. And he wants us to enjoy sex the best way possible. All right? So just as Potiphar entrusted Joseph with everything in his house, God entrusts us with the appetites, desires, and body. He entrusts that to us. And he wants us to steward our bodies well. Right? So you may say to yourself, why is purity important and how does it affect my destiny? Well, I'm so glad you asked, because that's what we're going to talk about this morning. All right. So are you ready? Yes. Number one, impurity affects your family. You know, there's a great example of this within God's word. And it is with King David. If you see in 2 Samuel chapter 11, we see one of the most famous examples of immorality in the Bible, sexual immorality. It's when King David falls into adultery. So we're going to go to verse 2 and see where this all started. Then it happened one evening that David arose from his bed and walked on the roof of the king's house. And from the roof, he saw a woman bathing. And the woman was very beautiful to behold. So in that chapter, chapter 11, there's a lot going on in that chapter, okay? David sees Bathsheba bathing, all right? And then he commits adultery, and he murders Bathsheba's husband, and then tries to cover up his sin. Now, I want you to notice the progression that sin takes, all right? So we've got that happening in chapter 11. One chapter over in chapter 12, the prophet Nathan comes to King David. He confronts him about his sin. And David, he repents. He legitimately repented. And then in chapter 13, though, we see King David's son Amnon falls into sexual immorality. Okay, so there was a progression to this sin. We had David looking down at Bathsheba, lusting. We have adultery, deception, murder, and then negative consequences on his children. Wow. So it's important to note that David did repent. He absolutely repented. God forgave him. God restored him. But here's what I want you to see. The consequences still rippled throughout his household. Because sin leaves a mark for generations. It does. And I'm going to show you that in Exodus chapter 34. It says, Yahweh is a compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger and rich in faithful love and truth, maintaining faithful love to 1,000 generations, forgiving wrongdoing, rebellion, and sin, but he will not leave the guilty unpunished, bringing the consequences, or your Bible may say iniquity, of the father's wrongdoing on the children and grandchildren to the third and fourth generation. That's some heavy duty scripture. I read that and I'm like, whoa. What I do affects multiple generations. What you do affects multiple generations. Now let's talk about that word iniquity. That's not a word I walk around using a whole lot. I don't know about y'all. So let's discuss what that means. Iniquity. Now, iniquity is a twisting or a perversion of our inner nature. All right? So that's what gets passed down. The sin is not what gets passed down. It's that inner nature that's twisted, that's perverted. Now, impurity is a trap that will lead to other sins. We saw that in the case of King David. And if we allow impurity to take hold of our life, it will affect our spouse, our children, our grandchildren. And that scripture talks about to the third and the fourth generation. So here's what I want you to think about. Purity or sexual stewardship, it's not just about you. It is about protecting the generations coming after you. So consider this quote by the great theologian John Wesley. What one generation tolerates, the next generation will embrace. That is definitely something to be considered. Put another way, what we allow in moderation, our children will practice in excess. But wait, that's It's not the only effect. It doesn't just affect our family. Impurity also affects our relationship with God. Immorality will negatively affect our relationship with God because immorality is deception. And God is truth. So those two things, they don't coexist, right? Immorality thrives in darkness, and God is light. So when we engage in sexually immoral behavior, we have to sneak around, right? We don't shout it from the rooftops on a megaphone like what we're doing, right? We're sneaking around. So that means we have to be deceptive. We have to lie. And who is the father of all lies? Right? It is Satan. But you see, the enemy's crafty. He's going to whisper in your ear. He's going to say, no one will know. Don't worry about it. Nobody's going to know. But here's what he doesn't tell you. That secret sin will open a door, will give Satan a legal right to be able to oppress you. So you've got to have an understanding of that. We do not need to be ignorant of the devil's schemes. Our deception and our secrecy will keep us from engaging in an open and a transparent relationship with God. In fact, it says in Psalm 66:18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. And I think that we all desire to have an open and transparent relationship with God. You know, I want you to think about the fact that God is your heavenly Father, and He's a good daddy. He is such a good father. And to my parents in the room, you may have had to give your kids some commands or directions, such as maybe don't play in the street, right? Now, you do not tell your kids don't play in the street because you don't want them to have fun. You want your kids to have fun, obviously. But you don't want your kids to be hurt or killed, right? So that's why in the area of sexual stewardship, God tells us what we need to do. He gives us boundaries within His word. He wants you to have fun. He does. But He does not want you hurt, right? Because He's a good parent. So number three, impurity affects your future. It will impact your future. We read in Genesis chapter 2, verse 24, it talks about the two becoming one flesh. Now, whenever you have sex, it creates a special union. And this is where two people become one. But y'all, that is not just physical. Hear me. It is physical, yes, but it is emotional and it is spiritual. And so it's important for us to understand that when we engage in sexually immoral behavior, when we have sex outside of marriage, then unhealthy bonds are created. Amen. And that can impact negatively future relationships. Maybe even with your spouse, your future spouse. So sexual stewardship, it is important to God. It's very important to God because He doesn't want us to fall into a trap, y'all, that will ultimately lead to our destruction. And some of you may say to yourself, okay, Regina, you're just taking this a little too seriously. Okay, well, I want you to look at this next verse in James. James will step on your toes. Just hop on over to that New Testament book. It will step on your toes. James chapter 1, starting at verse 14. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. So, y'all, if we allow sexual immorality to thrive within our lives, then we are putting our God-given destiny at risk. I know that's tough, but I'm gonna give you truth. At Church Alive, we're gonna teach the word and we're gonna teach the whole word. Okay? God loves us enough to tell us the truth in his word. So let's take a look for a moment at the difference between lust and love. Impurity is always lust, not love. Potiphar's wife didn't love Joseph. She didn't. She wanted to satisfy her own desires. Because y'all, lust is a selfish sin. It's selfish. And it seeks to meet its own needs. And y'all, it does not care who it will hurt in the process. That's lust. But what about love? There's a very famous chapter within the Bible. We hear it at a lot of weddings. 1 Corinthians 13. It's the love chapter. Well, if you look at the love chapter, verse 5 says, it describes love as not self-seeking. Y'all, that's the opposite of lust. Love is not self-seeking. So when we confuse lust and love, here's what happens. We end up being emotionally, spiritually, and physically wounded. And God doesn't want that for us. That's why he's so serious about lust. Because he knows that it's going to lead us to heartache and pain. So how do we guard our hearts against lust? Well, first of all, let's look at point number 5. Impurity begins in the eye, not the heart. Let's go back to Genesis 39, what we read earlier. Verse 7 says, verse 7. It tells us where lust begins in verse 7 of chapter 39. And it came to pass after these things that the master's wife cast longing eyes on Joseph. And she said, lie with me. We saw in the instance of David in that story that King David fell, and it started with a look, right? He saw Bathsheba bathing on the rooftop. So it wasn't the act that started the sin. It was the look, the looking. Impurity begins by looking, y'all. That's where it starts. Now, I believe that the righteous man Job, he understood this. Because you can see in Job chapter 31, starting at verse 1, it says this, I have made a covenant with my eyes. Why then should I look upon a young woman? Job understood this. He understood that impurity begins by looking. Now, y'all, we're humans. We're all humans, right? We're going to notice if somebody is attractive. God created us as humans. We're sexual beings. We're going to see things that are attractive, okay? He knows that. But he also warns us in his word about the pattern that this particular sin follows. And we see that in Matthew chapter 5, starting at verse 28. But I tell you, everyone who looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Now, make no mistake, just because it says him and her and all that, this is not a male issue. This is not a woman issue. This is a all humans issue, okay? Everybody is affected by this. So it begins with looking. Continued looking leads to lusting. And lastly, continued lusting leads to immorality. So if looking is the entry point, then it's important to take control of our eyes. I'm going to give y'all some deep, deep practical advice from God's word. Are you ready? You got your pen ready? Text it, write it in your notes. Okay. Don't look. Don't look. I know that's deep. I know that's significant. Whew, don't look. You know, see, God makes it simple for us. He breaks it down for us. Don't look. Don't look at pornography. Don't look at inappropriate websites. Don't look at provocative pictures, sexually explicit movies, seductive television programs. Don't look at attractive people that are inappropriately dressed. Don't look. Don't look. I know it's tempting. It's tempting. Guard your eyes. They are the gateway to your imagination. Guard your eyes. Psalm 101:3 says, I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. So we've got to guard our eyes. And I want to take a moment and talk to the young people in the room. Okay? This right here, your phone. It's very powerful. It's extremely powerful. And whatever you decide to scroll, y'all, it shapes what you crave. Yes. And so hear me and hear my heart, because I love each and every one of you, and God loves you even more than I do. Every click will either build purity or poison within you. And God, your heavenly Father, He's not trying to keep you from having fun. He is trying to protect your future marriage. Please understand, you got to guard your eyes. What you carry is so precious. Each and every one of you, young people and the rest of us too, we've got to be good stewards in this area. So I just want to give you a little bit of practical information. This is going to be some guardrails that you can utilize no matter who you are. They make four different devices filters. You know, maybe that's something you ought to look into, to put filters on your devices so that you can't access these sorts of things. Okay? Engage with an accountability partner. Now, let me explain this. You need to have an accountability partner that's going to ask the tough questions. Not one that's just going to agree with anything and everything you say. Okay? You've got to be able to be honest with this person. And they're going to get in your business. And you want them to get in your business. Now, it seems pretty obvious, but I'm going to go ahead and say it anyway. Your accountability partner needs to be the same sex as you. Okay? No males with females. Okay? And not the opposite. All right? So, have honest conversations. Have honest conversations. Couples, you got to be transparent. You know what? You got to talk about it. If you're struggling with something, you need to talk about it. I mean, the relationship that you have with your spouse needs to be the most open and intimate relationship besides you and God. You got to talk about it. And if you're struggling, struggle together. Struggle together. And maybe you need to get professional help. Good Christian counselors are amazing and can help you so very much. Singles, I want you to be careful the friends you choose. Yes, amen. Please choose friends that make it easier for you to be pure and not harder. You get to choose who your friends are. And parents, y'all, we have got to talk early. We have got to talk often. It's not just the talk. We got to keep on talking about it, okay? Don't assume that they already know something. Because what they're getting out in the world, it's probably not what you want them to get. And there is a whole lot of perversion. So we've got to be the information that they get, the first exposure. We want to be that first exposure that they get so they understand God's beautiful gift of sex. Okay? Sexual stewardship is a daily discipline. It is not a one-time victory. It says in Genesis 39:10, Potiphar's wife spoke to Joseph how? Day by day. This was a daily battle for Joseph. Each day, Joseph had to lean on God for the strength to resist temptation. And y'all, we're no different than Joseph. Satan is going to try to tempt us daily. But know that temptation can always be overcome and God will always provide a way of escape. It says in 1 Corinthians 10:13, no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. So y'all, as we kind of wrap things up, I know this has been a different teaching. I'm fully aware of that. But y'all, sexual stewardship is important to God. It is so important to God. And He wants us all to be victorious in every single area of our lives. And y'all, if this is something that you have struggled with in the past or even are currently struggling with, I want you to hear the heart of God. He does not condemn you. He does not condemn you. Satan will try to bring guilt, shame, condemnation, but y'all, Jesus brings freedom. He brings freedom. And so the good news is that Jesus, He dealt with both our sin and its consequences on the cross. Isaiah 53:5, it says, He was wounded for our transgressions. Those are the outward sins, okay? And He was bruised for our iniquities. We learn that's the inner nature, that twisted, that perverted nature, that sin nature. Jesus dealt with the outward and the inward. And I think it's so cool to see in that scripture, His sacrifice provided our outward healing and our inner healing. He wants you whole, complete, lacking nothing. And He wants you to be free from sexual immorality, from all sin. And there are three steps to achieve freedom in Christ. So we're going to take a moment and just quickly look at these three steps. Number one, we've got to repent. After we sin, we need to repent. Now, I know that's a real churchy word, but let's really break down what repent means. We were going our own way. We're following our own path. We're going after the things that are not of God. And when we repent, we turn and we go His way. It's a turning when we repent. So we turn away from sin. We express godly sorrow for what we've done. But as I said, He's not going to berate you with guilt and shame and condemnation. That's Satan that does that, not God. Then we renounce the power that sin has on our lives, because the power of sin and death was handled by our Lord Jesus Christ at the cross. The finished work of Jesus has taken care of that. So we can renounce the power of sin. And finally, we need to return to God. Y'all, let's run back to Him. I get the image in my mind of when the prodigal son came back home after he had gone and he had done his own thing. And I love that scripture that says he came to his senses and he returned home. The daddy wasn't just shaking his head like, "You horrible person. I can't believe you did all those terrible things." No. He had his arms wide open and he ran after his son. He was so happy to have him back. And so if this is a struggle or any other sin, just know that God is so happy to have you return to Him. He loves you so much. So if you would, you'd stand. I just want to pray over you, if that's okay. I just want to pray blessings and encouragement in this area. Again, I know it's a little odd, but y'all, here at Church Alive, we do teach the whole word. If God said it, if it's in this word, it says that all scripture is profitable. Okay? So we're going to teach it. Even the stuff that may make us a little convicted, you know, we need to be convicted. But God loves us so much that He wants His best for us. So if you would bow your heads, I'm just going to pray over you. Lord Jesus, we just thank You. We thank You for the finished work that You provided at the cross of Calvary. God, we thank You for the gift of sex. Thank You that You are the Creator and we want to do things Your way. God, right now, we repent from impurity of thoughts, of lustful looking, of any sexually immoral act. God, we reject that as sin. We know it is not pleasing unto You. And Your word says that You would cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So right now, God, I pray that You would cleanse each one of us, cleanse our body, our soul, our spirit, make us whole, heal our inner being in Jesus' name. You were bruised for us. You were wounded for us. God, we choose to return to You. We commit ourselves day by day to sexual stewardship. We want to steward our bodies well. We want to honor You, God, with our bodies, our eyes, our thoughts, our hearts. And right now, I say, Satan, by the authority of Jesus Christ, I bind condemnation. I bind guilt. I bind shame. That is not of God. Satan, You're the accuser. And we know that You're going to lie because that's what You always do. But Jesus came to give us life and give it more abundantly. So right now, we just declare freedom over our sexuality. As married couples, God, we want to experience all the joy and all the pleasure You have for us. And as single persons, Lord, we want to delight ourselves in You, knowing, God, You have the right spouse for us. You have the right spouse, and You will bring that person to us at the appointed time. God, right now, we submit ourselves to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. In the mighty name of Jesus, we all said, Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Church Alive Teaching of the Week. We invite you to join us for our Sunday morning worship service every Sunday at 8:45 or 10:30. Learn more at churchalive.net.